to
I wasn't prepared for this.
We come to you from the Jet Center and are proud Conroe ISD educators who understand the reality of serving in public education. We hope to bring you perspective from the field by tapping into the thoughts of students, teachers, administrators, and even community members. It will be a fun and thought-provoking discussion.
So come on in and grab your seat at the table. Hi, my name's Jenna, and I have the lovely honor of introducing our theme for this season. We have a theme of perspective. We're focusing on what it's like to get into the shoes of all the different people we just mentioned, the people we work with every day, the people we see at the grocery store, and all around the community. So we want to share some facts with you today that we think are really interesting. So Bailey, would you like to give us some data? We're always talking about data.
Oh yeah, I love data. And we did a personality assessment today on our team. And lo and behold, I am an owl. And owls love data. So I'm the perfect person to talk about this, I think. Hootie-hoo. Before I do, I want to make sure you know who is at the table with you today. Of course, Bailey Smiley. I was on the podcast last year, and I have some friends joining me at the table who will be with us this season. You want to introduce yourselves?
Yes, I am Lucy Kemple. I started the podcast last year.
And again, I'm Jenna. You heard from me just a moment ago. I might be a new voice to you. So I am your newest podcast team member, and I'm excited to be here.
All right, let's dig into this data. So on our team of student support services coaches, we have 14 team members. And of those 14 team members, we have a combined 118 years experience in education.
Wow.
I know. That's a lot. That makes me feel old.
Yeah, we're centurions. We're over 100 years.
A wise old owl right here. We also have three of us are graduates of Conroe ISD ourselves. I'm a Conroe High grad. What about you, Jenna?
I am also a Conroe High School graduate, and we have a silent member on our podcast team whose name I won't mention, is also a Conroe ISD graduate.
It's Lindsay Scott. I'm going to tell you right now. It's Lindsay Scott. She's sitting behind the glass wall over there with all the controllers in her hand. We just call her our production crew. One of our producer. Is that the title? Lindsay Scott. It's her.
We're the am not a Conroe High grad, but I do have a Conroe High... A Conroe graduate. That's my daughter.
That's awesome.
Her name is...
Emma Kemple.
Emma Kemple.
Might be a guest on this podcast.
Maybe we should
this
have
season.
Her as a guest. Since our theme is perspective, she might share a perspective from being a recent Conroe High grad. That would be amazing. So a little more facts about us. 50% of our team chose education as their first career choice, which is pretty telling that the other half of us did not. We found ourselves here in any way, though, right? Yeah. And so some of those career paths that the 50% who chose other avenues first are banking, criminal justice, public relations, some PR friends, and even hospitality, which looking at each of those things, I think all of those relate to the classroom in one way or another. So it's a pretty, you know, interesting perspective to share there. I am a person who education was my first career choice. So I'm right where I said I was going to be. Are any of you ones who... Lucy or Jenna, did you have a different career
I wanted
path?
To be in public relations.
Yeah.
I did not want to be in education because my mom was a principal and my two other sisters were in education and I wanted to be different. But lo and behold, here I am, loving every minute of it.
And we're certainly glad you're here, Lucy. What's interesting for me, I have a confession. I received some education scholarships as a senior in high school. I was very into filling out all of my scholarships, and I was able to get some nice money to be able to go to university. And I got education scholarships from Conroe ISD. And so in my heart of hearts, I knew I had to eventually return. So I tried to stray and go other ways, but ultimately I ended up in education where I belong.
Well, it was my first career choice, but I had a moment in time when I was a sophomore in high school that I thought I wanted to be a stewardess. And then I figured out, I know you too, Lucy.
Yes,
we've shared hand motions with each other several times, right? We have our nonverbal cues down. But then I decided, you know what? Why stewardess? I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to be an international airline pilot. And so I even went and took a few, test flight at the Conroe Airport. And I got so sick. It was horrible. I should have known better. I get horrible motion sickness. So that dream was crushed.
Bailey, after 6 years, I'm just now learning that. You could have been the pilot and I could have been the flight attendant.
It would have been perfect.
We still would have been on the same team.
We still have time. We can make this happen.
We do.
I don't think that's a really high high goals for me right now. A few more facts, because it's very interesting. So 10 of our personal children are in Conroe ISD. I have a Bartlett Bobcat and a Bosman Bronco in my family. Lucy, you have a recent graduate.
Yes, from Conroe High.
Okay, Conroe High. We have 5 team members who have even attended school, some form of education outside of the state. So yeah. In thinking of perspective, that brings some, eye-opening experiences that are from education outside of the state of Texas.
And I attended school outside of the country.
Tell me more about that.
So I come with a different perspective. I was born and raised in Mexico City, so I went to school pre-K through 5th grade there. So it's very different. I've learned a lot about both different school systems, and we'll talk about that more throughout the season.
Awesome. Yeah, that definitely makes me want to ask more questions. As Bailey was sharing that, I found something interesting when we looked at the states and countries represented. We range from having education in New Jersey to New Mexico, all the way to Washington State, and then farther south in Mexico, the actual country. So that's pretty amazing. We're representing all 3 coasts out here.
That's awesome. We've even had some team members, of course, live in different countries. 4 of our team members have lived outside of the United States. Definitely not me. I'm Miss Homebody, born and raised Conroe, Texas. I still live on the same road that I grew up on.
Oh, we love a hometown girl.
That's me. I actually was born in El Paso, though. I was just born there. I was just passerby. I can't claim it in any other way than that. And we are world travelers, so 81 countries have been visited by our team members. I do have to say that I have visited some myself. I've fought a very small number, but I know some members of our team have visited more than 18 countries themselves.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
So talk about perspective.
They definitely don't get motion sickness.
No, they don't. And... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead.
And with that, again, we are going to be able to talk about so many different things using so many different perspectives that I am really excited about this season.
So we did ask a poll question of some of our teammates, and we wanted to kind of dive into their experience through education as students. So we asked them how they think education has changed since they were a kindergartner.
Which you have to think, that ranges from anywhere from 25 to 50 years of experience, because people have different starting points, obviously. And so we're ranging back several decades.
Mm-hmm. So some of the themes from our answers were that whether it's teachers, whether it's students, the overall expectation has increased for what we provide in our education system. So the theme was higher expectations.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, with those higher expectations, we have noticed that learning seems to be more student focused, which of course we promote, because the more invested I am in my learning, I have to imagine that a student that is getting to participate in their own learning is going to take more away from that. And so I think the higher expectations create a lot of pressure, yet at the same time, I think students have a lot of meaningful opportunities to participate in creating their own future. So I think it's a good thing overall, personally.
Well, I'm going to ask you a remembering question, which these remembering questions are always really hard for me, because I feel like the second someone asks me to recall or remember something, it's like cricket. I got it right now. You talked about different ways to participate in your education. What Jenna, for you, since we were both at the same schools at the same time, what were some of the ways that you were expected to participate in your education that you recall most often?
I felt like it was more traditional, what we might call sit and get. So I remember a lot more lecturing. So I was a typical student. I had respect for role-bound authority, so I was going to follow the rules, even if I was internally rebelling. I would still sit down and take my notes and do what I was supposed to do, which I'm putting in air quotes. And I think the main difference that I see is that I didn't feel like it was my classroom. I felt like it was my teacher's classroom. And so while that wasn't really a negative thing for me in my experience, what I see now, I believe that students feel more comfortable to express themselves in the classroom, and I feel like there's more a culture of acceptance, whereas when I was in school, it was more being about our business, and if students were outside of expectations, they were dealt with more sternly in my experience.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I was a overall compliant kid, mm-hmm. but I do have those moments and those memories of, you know, like the moments you think that make you, you know, when you think it's like, I'm the fifth grader who's at a crossroads. What path am I going to take? Am I going to be that girl or am I going to be that girl? You know, like I remember mm-hmm. those moments. I remember a moment in the fifth grade when I wrote a note, and meanwhile, it was in history class, so I was supposed to be doing something mm-hmm. else. So yes, I was a compliant kid, but I was also good at masking. Because I was a good kid, everybody often overlooked me. Mm-hmm. I was writing a note to a boy, and the teacher grabbed the note and read it out loud to the entire class. And in that moment, I heard my words coming out of someone else's mouth, and I realized, well, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. And I felt just so much shame in that moment. But my experience looking at that from just like an education standpoint is I don't think that something like that would ever, it may happen, mm-hmm. but I don't think it would be more likely or definitely not accepted to happen these days because we have so much caution mm-hmm. about the social and emotional well-being of students. The teacher had no idea what that was said in that note. And if she had read forward a little bit, she probably wouldn't have read it out loud. But when she read it, she also didn't seem to feel any remorse or thought of like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Instead, she dug her heels in and we just continued on with what the note said. And everybody was a part of it. Like that was one of those moments mm-hmm. that made me. And with you, I hear you saying it was very traditional. It was the teacher's classroom. It was the environment she set up and we were all just there and we needed to attend mm-hmm. to it as, you know, she saw appropriate. And we were there with her, but it was her room, her space. We had to figure out how to fit into mm-hmm. it. I think of that moment and I think today it probably would have been handled very differently.
Yeah, that's what I would call one of those shame-based techniques.
Yeah.
And it's Texas code that we should treat all students with dignity and respect. And I'm sorry, but that doesn't sound like dignity and respect to me.
Well, it did teach me a lesson, though, let's be honest.
Okay.
I learned
fair
a lesson.
Enough.
For better or for worse, I stopped writing notes altogether. That was kind of how that went. So other themes that we had from the poll question was we have, of course, an increase in technology. Well, of course.
Yeah. Obviously, yes.
I think of that, though, and I think, okay, for students who are graduating now, look back at their course of educational history, whether it be in Conroe ISD or wherever they have attended since their kindergarten mm-hmm. year. For that span of time, if we look back at their kindergarten year and think of those educators who are thinking of what they need to be prepared for mm-hmm. as their graduates now, do you think they could have ever perceived what technology or what skills would have needed to be required for what they're entering into in the job field and what kind of technology they're using and how they engage with technology? I think it's fascinating to consider that every year we're starting a journey with a new cohort of kiddos mm-hmm. and we have no idea what kind of pressure they're going to be under when they graduate, mm-hmm. what kind of technology they're going to have to learn to use. So I think that we have increased our adaptability, is that a word, with technology over the course of time, mm-hmm. for sure. But it's always with a big question mark. What's going to be possible? Mm-hmm. What's coming? And how can we adapt to meet the needs as they come? It's just, but kids are so adaptable. Mm-hmm. They adapt way before we do. They're teaching us how to use the technology.
That's true. You bring up a really great point. I attended a Lead Forward training not too long ago, and they were bringing up the different domains that they are, I don't want to say judging, but skills they're looking for in students. And technology proficiency had climbed to the top, whereas interpersonal skills had moved down a few spots. And I think that that's telling, because we are seeing our students develop in a much different way, and their thinking minds are really attuned to the computer, unlike ours. And so we also have to be adaptable to how they're processing things, and as a result, how we teach them. Mm-hmm. So I do find it really fascinating as well. And technology has developed at a compounded rate, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first smartphone being in the cool kids' hands in 2007. And by 2012, it felt like most everybody had a smartphone. And then the last decade, it's just there's a new phone every week, it seems like. And AI is really changing things at a rapid rate recently, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So how students get their information, how authentic it is, and then how our classroom management practices change as a result, because students are accessing information much differently and much more quickly. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have to ask a question. When did you get your first smartphone? You made me think about
Lucy.
That.
Lucy.
Probably when I was like, I don't know, when did the smartphone come out?
Well, I remember just like Jenna, it was I don't know when it came out, mm-hmm. but I know I graduated in 2007. So I had to, the only way I could have my own cell phone was if I paid for it myself. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even like at that time from most, I think culturally, that it was expected that all kids mm-hmm. had a cell phone. We weren't even there yet. So I was able to pay for my own cell phone. I had a cell phone, but it was a flip phone, mm-hmm. right? And so I didn't even text on my flip phone because you had to pay for that extra. But we weren't even there yet. I remember graduating college with a flip phone because I refused to have one of those screen things because it was like going to break or something. I don't know. And I also was the person who refused to text because if people wanted to talk, I used to say this all the time. If people want to talk to me, they should call me. Like, who was I? An 85-year-old woman? I don't know what I was. I thought I was like holding on to something so important.
You were. But it was like trying to mop the ocean. I got my first iPhone or smartphone at the end of 2011. So I was about halfway through college whenever I got one. Okay. And I still have the purple zebra case for my little flip open phone that was a little rectangle. I just looked at it the other day. So I'm holding on to the history, but I have fully accepted that the smartphone is like my third hand.
My daughter, on a side note, was watching Clueless the other day, which is her new favorite movie, mm-hmm. and I'm all about it. So nostalgic. But you know, in Clueless, they have beepers. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, what is that thing?
<That's>
and
fun.
We had to go down a Google, you know, deep dive mm-hmm. in the phones and communication over time. She was fascinated. But, you know, mm-hmm. getting back to the increase in technology, you're mm-hmm. right. It's compounded. It's just fascinating to think of the different experiences mm-hmm. and skills we have to adapt to over the course of not our lifetime, but even moments of our lifetime. A few other themes, which Jenna's already kind of hit on it a little bit, is the increase in student-centeredness, or even more of an increase of focus in a student-centered or student, you know, led learning mm-hmm. environment. We always say that we know that we want students to be self-aware. We want them to be metacognitive thinkers. We want them to understand their own learning goals and push for achieving mm-hmm. those.
Bailey, what does metacognitive mean?
Well, now that you ask me, I don't know if I know. I think it means I think about my thinking.
There you go. Yes, thinking about my thinking. I just had to pause there for a moment because we're always emphasizing vocabulary instruction. And that was a $5 word.
So ooh!
Thinking about our thinking. Absolutely.
I think we should this season because Jenna uses a lot of big fun words too. Maybe we need to have a special $5 word jar. That yes. would be fun. Let's see how much money we can accumulate.
Okay, I like that idea.
Let's be real. We're not going to put real money in the jar. We can do fake money. Maybe deserving dollars.
There you go.
Okay. So then a last theme that was in some of our responses was, of course, that learning objectives have increased in rigor over time. From our perspective. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I have to say, I wasn't the one doing the lesson planning when I was in school, so yeah. I don't know how rigorous those learning objectives were, but I don't ever remember there being simple I can statements on the board. I think that would have really helped me have a goal in sight as I was working. So, you know, I'm not sure how deeply I can speak to that topic, but I would say that there seems to be more standards just based on the eavesdropping I would do as a student, because I've always been a curious little bee. I don't think so. I don't think that I know the answer to that is what I mean.
Yeah. From your perspective, you can't dive into that because you don't share this perspective of, like you said, lesson planning and having a really deep understanding of what you were learning as you were learning it.
Right.
Right. I mean, me as well. I do remember asking a lot of questions. Again, I must have been a really tough fifth grader. I think that was my year.
Yes, it was.
I remember sitting in my math class and we were learning about ratios. I remember it like it was a dream that just happened last night. And she was talking about ratios, or was it proportions? Isn't it the same thing? Are they really the same thing?
They're related.
They're related. All right. See, I wasn't paying that much attention that day because I was more focused on when am I going to use this? Mm-hmm. And I remember asking her specifically, when am I going to use this? And she assumed that I was being a smart aleck and I was questioning why is this important and going to get to the point of I don't need to learn this. I'm never going to see it. But I really wanted to know when am I going to be in life and I'm going to know, ooh, this is the moment when I have to use that equation because I want to have it in the right file, in the right pocket for the right time. What's my cue? When's the moment? And that conversation too went south.
She didn't see it as an instructional opportunity to say, young Bailey, when you're cooking, when you're using measuring cups for your baking, she didn't say any of that?
No, it was stop asking questions like that. So
was this the same teacher that read you note out loud?
No, it was a different teacher, a different school. So it was fifth grade, sixth grade.
Funny, because it sounds like those teachers had the same perspective.
Or was it a moment in time?
Perhaps.
Maybe education.
You said it might have
changed,
been a dream.
Right? No, it wasn't a dream. It was for real. I was just saying, I remember it so vividly. It wasn't a dream, Lucy. Okay, it was a real life. I remember that. That was a moment in time. It defined my course. Here I am.
Here you are.
Okay. So we do want to take a moment to kind of hype our season for you because we are excited about all of the chats we're going to have at this table with you this year. And we also have already have on the books. We're not going to tell you their names. Oh, that's a fun little thing we should do, too. I'm making all the plans. That's another thing we should do, a little nail drum roll. We have several guests on the docket that are very influential in our district and in our community.
Absolutely.
And they are going to come to talk with us about their perspective and other perspectives. We also are going to go on a few field trips. So that'll be fun. We're going to take this show on the road, literally.
Woohoo!
We are excited to share this season with you. And again, our theme is perspective, where we're going to take a glimpse into the experiences of those who share this district with us, to learn, to grow, and to just have fun, thought-provoking discussions. Before we end this little teaser episode, we do want to start another tradition along with the $5 word jar. And what else did we come up with today? The nail finger, the drum roll.
The drum roll.
We want to end each episode with a positive perspective by sharing a drop of joy. So I'm going to pose it to y'all first. Can you share your drop of joy for the day?
Okay, I'm excited. A drop of joy. So this is cheesy, but I do have some cheesiness to me. I really enjoyed the team building that we had at our team meeting this morning. And though it was more time than I'm used to in team building, I felt like it was something that I really champion as an educator, which is that I want to front load relational time with students before we dive into the rigorous things that we have in store. And so as educators, we have a rigorous job together, and I really valued the team building. That's my drop of joy.
It's fun.
Mine is very different. I did enjoy the team building, but my drop of joy is that it's November and I love Thanksgiving. And guess what? It's time to decorate for Christmas, which is my favorite holiday.
So are you at the day after Thanksgiving or like happy holidays?
It might be the day before, or it might be tomorrow. There are no rules. My perspective is a holiday should make everybody just be joyful and play by your own rules.
Play by your own rules. Well, you know who does? Bath and Body Works. Thanks, Lucy. You're right about that, too. I do play by my own rules. I am quite the rebel.
I love it.
I'm really a rule follower, but I identify as a rebel.
What is your drop of joy?
Well, I'll tell you. Can I tell you about Bath and Body Works
real
quick?
Yes, please.
I was there just yesterday, which is Halloween, and you walk in Bath and Body Works, and they were dressed up for Christmas. The entire store was dressed up for Christmas.
No, wait. It was so Halloween.
Intense. It was so intense.
Were they costuming like it was
They were
Christmas?
Dressed as like, elves. That's what I thought
that was
at
their
first.
Costume?
No, I thought that at first. No, the whole store had already been exchanged. It's like, whoosh, oh, wow. They've already made the switch, which I kind of was appreciating Halloween for Halloween.
Yes. It
threw me off. If you are not a decorate before Thanksgiving, or do not go inside Bath and Body Works. Just
okay.
Throwing that out there for all the people who are at the table. My drop of joy is that yesterday evening on Halloween, we were starting to get ready to go trick-or-treating, and we just had a moment, all of me and my sister-in-law and the kids that were in the back of the car, in the hatch, the pet section of the car, you know, because we were getting out and getting ready to go. They were in the hatch with the hatch open, and they looked up at the sky, and then me and my sister-in-law happened to all look up at the sky at the same time. It was just one of those moments, aww. And we all went, wow, the sky's so pretty right now. Mm-hmm. And so we all just had a moment where we looked at the sky and thought, well, it's so pretty, you know? And I thought, talking about perspective, it's amazing to think that everybody in the world shares the same sky.
Mm-hmm. I really
and we
like
all
that.
Got to see that beauty at the same time.
I love that. That's pretty deep.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I like it.
Those are my thoughts, my inner thoughts. To end with a drop of joy, maybe it was more of like a gallon of water.
No, I love it.
Okay.
So if you haven't listened to season one of this podcast, check out those episodes now. Thank you for joining our table. We can't wait to have you back. And remember that we're having many special guests, so stay tuned to...
I wasn't...